Liberating Truth tonight. Matthew 27, verse 15. As we come into it here, Jesus Christ had already been falsely accused. He'd been arrested, he'd been spit upon and beaten and denied by Peter. And because the Pharisees, these Jews, didn't have authority in these days to put somebody to death because they had to go through the Roman government, they were taking Jesus to the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate. And so that's where we're going to pick it up here. And the Bible says in verse 15, "Now at the feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with this just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water, washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. Father, would you please work in our minds and our hearts tonight? And Lord, would you so kindly tonight and so pointedly release us from all the burdens and the expectations of others that, Lord, you didn't design us to carry. But Lord, give us your vision tonight that we might please you and that you would be uplifted and honored and that we'd live as we should underneath your wings. Please have your will in your way, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You see, and at this time of year, it was customary for Pilate to free a prisoner of the people's choice. Okay? So right here, it was the time of the Passover. Right before it, the people could have chosen to release Jesus Christ, or they could have chosen to release a criminal by the name of Barabbas. Now, folks, what we're going to see here tonight in this text is the real life pressures and choices of daily life as it relates to how we treat Jesus Christ in our lives, how we treat others, and listen, how we make decisions and what kind of things we're dealing with, all right, and circumstances that we're dealing with, how we relate to the truth of His Word. Here we have Pontius Pilate. This man's a politician, all right? This fella here is going to go with the flow here in his philosophy of life. Listen, folks, we must know the truth as believers, okay? Yes, we're going to get it from this pulpit, and we do. But we need to get it from the Word of God also in our homes, in our lives, all right? We need to know the truth. We need to study the truth. And we need to stand on it. This Bible is full of principles that we can live on. And it's either cursing if we get off of it, or blessing if we stay on it. All right? The first thing I want us to see tonight is Pontius Pilate. Let's watch this guy here, this politician. Verses 17 here. Goes down and says, Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said to them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? Here the Pharisees march up Jesus Christ to Pontius Pilate, and they said, Listen, we want this guy crucified, we want him killed. And Pilate is standing there. And guys, he says it, I don't know how many times, 3-4 times in different gospel accounts. They said, well, he says, what am I going to do with this just man? In other words, Pilate is like, well, he's not offended anybody. He's done nothing wrong. And so here are these Jews are saying, well, we want to crucify him anyway. And as we see here, now understand something. Pontius Pilate is in a position where he is a Roman procurator. Okay, he's in charge of that area. Rome at that day and time was a little unstable, folks. There was uproars in different places. She's about ready to fall because in 70 AD, Titus is coming in, okay? And so Rome is like this. And the Roman government is biting her fingernails, so to speak. And if there's an uproar in one place, Rome comes and takes out the governor because he's not doing his job. And Pilate was concerned, all right? And these Jews, they were famous for making uproars and for causing trouble for Rome. And Pilate didn't want that. No way, man. He was concerned with pleasing this crowd. Let's calm these people down. Even if it means making the wrong choice. Even if it means not doing justice, you see. Pontius Pilate was willing to make a trade to sell out Jesus Christ, so to speak, for peace in his province. Okay? He was bartering here with the Pharisees. He was bartering here with the devil. He's making a trade-off. He's bartering here with the world. And listen, when we barter with the devil, when we barter with the world, when we make a trade-off in our lives of something that we know what God's best is, and we make a trade-off, it's going to cost us something. Okay? And it's going to cost us something every time. Now, Pilate's wife here. Folks, look at verse 19. It says, when he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, now listen, here's the man on the judgment seat. This is his job. This is a big event. He's before everybody. But the wife calls him up on his cell phone, right in the middle of it, and she knows it. You getting what I'm saying? This is important to her, and she knows it. She says, Pilate, don't have anything to do with this guy, meaning Jesus Christ. I've had some mighty bad dreams, and they were surreal. And listen, she's beside herself. And there's unrest in Pontius's home. Okay? There's some unrest here because he's not treating the Lord Jesus Christ the way God would have him to. All right? And so, now, when a man compromises with the world and the devil for his own agenda, that's what Pilate's doing, for his own advantage, for his own comfort, his family will suffer. It'll be a rough road. Plain and simple. All right? What does the book say? How am I making my choices? How am I living? What am I doing? You see. But to know what the book says, we've got to get in it. All right? We've got to get in it, folks. Anyway, you know what? Fast forward this thing. Secular history tells us that after Pilate's involvement with this mock trial with Jesus Christ and this sentence that he was crucified, that his political career took a downhill spiral. He went into political ruin. He was emotionally disturbed. He went into depression, and eventually Pontius Pilate committed suicide. Did you know that? Yeah, I didn't either. I did a little study on that. Yeah, the man committed suicide. Listen, folks, he was on the wrong side of Jesus Christ. And we as believers, listen, as we heard this morning, we can get on the wrong road. We can get on the wrong way the ways of this world rather than the ways of God. In the fall of 1769, a pastor by the name of James Ireland was arrested after preaching a service. Okay, it was in America, the early stages of America with a state church and everything. And this pastor James Ireland was preaching this book. Okay, and no doubt that his crime was preaching without a license. He was thrown in jail. And when he went to jail, crowds of people would show up Sunday morning to hear that man preach to the grades. Yes, sir. And this man would preach, and because of the immense crowds that came to hear Ireland, someone planted a bomb in the cell, tried to kill him. All right? He was spared. Threw a bomb in the thing. Still didn't kill him. Okay? Someone took some Indian peppers, okay, filled with sulfur, brimstone. They put underneath the door of that cell, try to smoke him out, try to kill him with those peppers. Okay? Still, he somehow got in that cell, that concrete cell, and there were cracks in the wall. And he put his face and his nose up to these cracks, put his hand, tried to seal it, and he breathed the air from that was inside the blocks there so that he wouldn't suffocate inside that cell. Still couldn't kill him. All right? I say all to say this. Then they tried to poison him with his food. Didn't work. Every attempt failed to kill this man of God. Why? Because blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Listen, he's going to prosper. 1 Peter 2 and verse 19 says, "For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God, if a man for conscience toward God suffer wrongfully," well, I forget how that one goes, but I think you're getting, if a man suffers for doing right, God will bless him. Okay? That's plain and simple. And it says also in James 1 and verse 12, "Blessed is the man who endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he will receive the crown of life." 2 Timothy 2 and verse 3 says, "Thou therefore, my son, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." We're going to endure some hardness. Plain and simple. People were getting saved at this day and time with this guy. His congregation was continually growing. God was blessing. Mr. Ireland was not looking to commit suicide, folks. Two different men. Two different worldviews. Two different thoughts. You see. And again, how many times do we have opportunity to deny Christ? Do you know how many times I've been on a job? I've been in the tree business for 20 years, okay? How many guys tell dirty jokes right in the middle of a whole crowd, and you're supposed to laugh at them? You know what I'm saying? That's the way it is. And how about the boss? The boss comes up and tells you something just personally and thinks that you're supposed to laugh at that. Listen, all kinds of different things. And then they tell you about the things they do on the weekends and all kinds of innuendos and the whole nine yards. Listen, we've got to stand for Christ at those times as hard as it is. You see. And how many times, look, folks, with these phones, these iPhones, how many times are you tempted alone to look at some porn or on a computer or whatever? Listen, I asked you the question today. When those temptations come in your mind and heart, Pontius Pilate traded the one for the other. He bartered with the devil. He was for sale. Folks, we need a sign on us that says, "Not for sale. Not for sale." Listen, these things in the world ruin us. Completely. Completely. And I'll tell you what's getting even more and more is these prescription drugs. We need a sign on us. Not for sale. You see. You see, when we're more concerned with pleasing others or pleasing ourselves more than pleasing God, there is an awful price to pay. And it won't be right now. It'll be down the road. I know of a contractor. Went to a job and there was a big storm and there was damage on a building. And Danny, you probably relate to this, I'd guess for sure. And the bill for the day was $600. Guy looked at that contractor and he said, "Hey," he said, Why don't you go ahead and write the bill out for $1,200? He said, no, and I'll send that to the insurance company. That's what the guy said. Contractor. And the customer's looking him right in the eyes. Did you ever deal with that, Danny? You got a guy looking right at you with this that kind of thing, you know. And contractor said this. He put his head down. He said, no. He said, that would be dishonest. And he told the guy that he trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior, and he just could not do that. Folks, that contractor is not for sale. And we need to not be for sale. It's plain and simple. Plain, simple Bible truth. He wasn't going to trade his integrity for the customer's wishes or his approval. No. Listen, we all want to be liked and accepted. We all want to be popular. But say if you have a business or you want to do whatever it takes to bring people into favor with you. All right? And I fear that too many times we cave in to that pressure. But we have to have our minds made up. We're not for sale. Am I willing to give up the Lord's smile and blessing for the world's approval? So number one, we saw Pilate. But number two tonight, I want you to see the priests and the Pharisees. Look at verse 18. It says, for he knew that for envy they delivered him. Through the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, he had tremendous influence over every one of the land of that day and time. What's the Bible say? What Jesus was doing wasn't done in a corner. All right, everybody knew about it. He healed the sick. He made the blind to see. He raised the dead. His preaching and his teaching brought peace to those that received it. And these priests and these Pharisees were envious. And I want to tell you, Christian, not everybody's on your side. When I got saved, and I gave my life to preach the Word of God, I thought all the Christians were on my side. I got news for you. They're not. Yeah, Christians. People in churches. They want, and in many cases, that's not everybody, guys. So don't think I'm saying that. But I want to stand here and say this tonight. Not everybody's on your side. Many want what they want. That's it. If they can get something out of it, that's good. If they can't, then you're no good, pal. That's how it is. They told us that one old preacher told us in Bible college, the old boy had been in the ministry for years and years. He said, if you young men wear your feelings on your shirt sleeves where everybody can get at them, he said, don't go into ministry. He said, if you don't have tough skin, tough as leather, he said, don't go into ministry. And I'll tell you what, that can apply to any of us tonight. There's things that are thrown at us on a daily basis and how we handle situations and things and you know, how are we going to respond? In a Christ-like manner, or are we going to get mad about it? Well, they did this. And like, hey, listen, there have been people that have been put on the shelf that say, I'm not going back to church. Listen. There's issues in every church. How do I know? Because I'm there. We all got our issues, folks. But it's God's plan, and we need each other. That's the facts of it. But envy, jealousy is ugly, especially in the life of a Christian, the one that has a testimony for Christ. Envy desires others to fail because envy desires. It desires itself to succeed, but not someone else. You see, think of Acts chapter 9. The Bible says in Acts chapter 7, verse 9, it says, and the patriarchs, moved with envy, the patriarchs were Reuben and Issachar and all those men that sold Joseph into slavery, okay, back in the book of Genesis. And the patriarchs, moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt. You see, those brothers of Joseph wanted Joseph's destruction. Why? They're jealous of him. Yes, sir. Now, Dad didn't help much. He showed favor. A coat of many colors. Imagine a coat. I mean, of course, this is an American flag here, but if there's a coat here of many colors, and a guy walks up and puts it on one of his boys, and he's got 12 sons, that's the only one that gets it. And it's bright. Listen, when that guy came out that day to see what those boys were doing with the sheep, he saw that kid coming with that coat of many colors from 150 yards. And they looked at each other and goes, "Here he comes. Let's nail him." That was for envy. That little pig, we don't want him around anymore. We're going to take care of him. We're going to sell him into slavery. Actually, they wanted to kill him, but Reuben's the one who persuaded him. No, let's not kill him. But I'll tell you, these guys were mad about it. The point is this. The people in Grace Baptist Church should endeavor and strive and make it a passion to see each other succeed in the things of God. That's what we need. That needs to be our heart. You say, "Yeah, but one day this guy said this to me. Yeah, but this here happened one time." No time for that, guys. Listen, the Lord's a coming, and time's short, and we've got to put down those things. And say, no, I understand. They did that and for whatever reason, but I'm gonna put that under the blood in my mind and my heart, and I'm gonna say, you know what? I want their success. I want their family's success. I want to see them go on for God. I'm gonna beg God in prayer for them. That they would receive His grace and His blessing. Strong godly homes, encouraged in our marriages, encouraged in our child training. Listen, Kyra and Logan, they're going to be married here in August 12th. Listen, folks, they need encouragement in their marriage. I mean something fierce. I think they think it might be easy. Yes, sir. And I'll tell you, until you're married and you get into the thick of it, you don't know how much you need that book. That sounds real bad, I know, but I'm just going to be honest with you. That's the facts of the facts. And you say, "I needed that book." She needs it too. Yes, sir. I mean, you better get serious about it. You hear me? Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Okay. Yes. Encourage in our child training. All right. Being strong witnesses in word and deed in this community. Listen, God didn't plant Grace. And by the way, God planted Grace Baptist Church. Amen. It's no accident, folks. Mm-mm. God planted us here in this valley. And people watch this church. Oh, they do. They see it. They got opinions about it. All right. I know that's a fact. I get around here. You do too. Yes, sir. There's no room for pride. There's no room for jealousy. There's no room for envy. There's no room for an attitude of "we got it all together," but they don't. There's no room for that, folks. Yes, different churches believe different things, and yes, we're going to stand on this book here. There's no doubt about it, but we must stand, and I mean stand, but stand so sweetly. So sweetly. Yep. We say, no, we don't do that. We don't believe that. But we love you. But that's not going to be my home. But we care about you. We want to see you go on for God. Right? That's it. No, the Pharisees delivered Jesus for envy. Envy will kill us. It'll kill us. Number three, the people. We saw Pilate and how he handled the situation. We saw the Pharisees and what they're about. Now let's look at the people. And the people are amazing, okay? It's amazing how people are. Look at verse 20. But the chief priests and elders... Now, these are these guys with envy in their heart, okay? Real winners. You know what I'm talking about, okay? They're real examples here. persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The people were persuaded. The Pharisees persuaded the multitude. There's one thing about the multitude, folks. You don't want to be in the multitude. Okay. If you're in the multitude and you're everybody's friend and you have everything in common with everybody around and everything's great, okay, you're probably not living for the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? Because we're going to be a little different. And yet we stand sweetly. That way there's no evil thing that can say. Do you see what I'm saying? And so, but the one thing about the multitude is simply this, and the Bible says it right here. Folks, they're easily persuaded. Fake news? All that goes on in the media? Listen, before World War II began, the Nazi Party persuaded the multitude that killing Jews was the solution to the world's problem. Folks, they believed that. Those people in those concentration camps that committed those horrible crimes believed that. Why? Because some superior at the top persuaded them. I'm concerned about our public school system, folks. And we all ought to be. All right? I'm not saying they're persuading them to believe something like that at this time, but I'm saying there's some lies going on. Okay? And you know as well as I do, the multitudes back in Christopher Columbus's day were persuaded that the earth was flat. The Bible said she's round. All right? Charles Darwin, another lie. The propagator of evolution, all right, persuaded the multitude that evolution is a scientific fact. Do you know tonight there's not a lick of fact in the evolution? It's not science. The word science means knowledge. It's not true. We didn't come from apes. Dinosaurs lived when people lived. People killed them because they ate us. Okay? And other reasons, different atmospheric changes and different things. But listen, those are things that are actually, when you say this thing started the Big Bang, you're off. Say you're off your rocker, but you're off. Okay? The public school system continues to persuade the multitude, and the secular colleges continue to propagate this lie. The liberal media and the press persuade the multitude that homosexuality is not sin, it's just an alternative lifestyle. No, it is not. No, it is a sin. Jesus wants to save the homosexuals. Please understand that. But homosexuality, as I think, is wicked. The transgender culture is not normal. It is not acceptable. But it even got the approval and the propagation of the White House in earlier, it was Obama. And then all the people believe it. Guys, do you see it? It's a web of lies. Like that guy sitting in that easy chair and the whole world lieth in wickedness and the bubbles just fly up. The whole world lies in wickedness. There's an elite group of people out there empowered by demonic forces and Satan to propagate these lies to dumb down the people that they go these ways. And the church can't have it. Church of God, we must wake up. Amen? We must have a right worldview. Raise our children in that. That biblical worldview. The multitude is persuaded that global warming is a real problem. No, it's not. No, it isn't. It's a joke. It's a lie. It's a farce. The fact that we can really legislate the temperature of the earth is ridiculous. God's got that. Always has. By him all things consist. That's what it says in the book of Colossians. He made all things, and by him and him alone they consist. Did you know the word in Genesis? It says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void. And darkness is upon the face of the deep. Let me get it here. This blew my mind when I realized this. And it says, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. That word moved right there. That has the idea, that is vibrations. That word moved is talking about the protons and the neutrons and all the things that make up matter. It's still moving. How do you think matter is held together? It's held together by a force. God spoke at one time, folks, it's still going on. By all things, he makes all, in him, all things consist. Listen, when you compare science to the scripture, it's there. Another lie. People today are persuaded that living together is normal and acceptable, and that it's okay. And it's not. It's still a sin. It's still living out of God's will, away from his, out from under his wings and his protection. You see, that killing unborn babies is okay. No, it is not okay. That spanking your children is psychologically damaging to them. No, it's not. No, it isn't. When you take that road, you're just taking the devil's road, and he's laughing all the way to the bank with it. The need for prescription drugs to make your child behave. Well, Johnny, he's just got ADD and IDD, whatever he's got running around here. No, Johnny needs a shot in the pants. And maybe lots of them. Listen, it's an indisputable fact from the Word of God. That's all. We've got a book. And yes, there are children harder than others. There's no doubt about that. And I get five of them. Understand that. And yes, I know there's various different mental capacities and different things that must be taken into account. So to say a blanket statement, I'm not making that. I'm just saying, but a lot of kids are on some drugs that shouldn't be on them. That's a fact. I know one little boy, he didn't even mature. They put him on these drugs, and the kid was such an emotional mess, and he didn't mature as a man. He just didn't mature, okay? And he stayed real little. His voice stayed the same. Why? Had him on all these drugs. Oh, well, this young man needs this. No, he doesn't. Who told you that? Dr. So-and-so? Just stuff that guy. Get him out of here. Get to the book. TV preachers that say, send your money to this address and God will bless you. Oftentimes when we have visitors come in here on Sunday mornings, yes, we take an offering. Isn't it what, Pastor, we've taken offering Sunday morning, that's it. Okay? We don't want to be known as a church that's asking for everybody's money. And we're not, by the way. I'm not suggesting that a lick. I don't think it's made a big deal, but I think we pass it very discreetly and we do the offering plate and it's done. That's great. It's not about money. But again, the multitudes are persuaded. A lot of people sending money into this. Hey, there are many wrong and hurtful philosophies that are taught in the name of Christianity today that will take us down. We must stick to the book. Because when you get off the book, you see things that don't go right. You get depressed. And in the everyday, daily grind of life, you actually feel insane. Listen, folks, the point is simply this, that you are not, I've learned this, you're not going to please everybody. So you might as well please God. Because when circumstances, situations come down through life, how do I handle this? How do I handle that? First thing ought to be, what does God want? But if I handle it this way, then so-and-so will be mad at me. It's like that in a church. Hey, did you know that? That's how it is. That's why people pack up and go home and never come back. Boy, we need to be a forgiven bunch. Amen? We need to be able to work together and to work our problems out and communicate instead of picking up our toys and going home. Right? That's what we need. Okay? And that takes some maturity. That takes getting in this book. That takes some humility. Lord, what do you want? How do you want me to handle this situation? You see. But again, the world has its philosophies. These are lies that people believe whole time. All right? Now, you know, it says in Matthew chapter 7. Let's go there quickly and we'll be done. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. And I use this passage this morning, but nonetheless, it says, Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate." That word straight means narrow, folks. Because narrow is the gate, straight and narrow. Yep, the same thing right here. "And narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." That certainly is talking about salvation through faith in Christ, no doubt. But it also applies to us as we choose to go through life by doing, if we go, it's going to do what everybody else does, what seems to work for them. 10 years later, you find out it never worked for them. But right now, it looks good. You know, what's going on there? But when we choose to go through life what everybody else does, reaping the same consequences, the same disappointments, the same heartaches of the world, okay? Wasn't Lot's righteous soul vexed? Folks, Lot had a relationship with God in some form or fashion. But the man's family was a train wreck. A Christian can be saved. A man can be saved. A woman can be saved and make horrible choices. Absolutely, their lives look like a total wreck. And they're in misery, chastened by the Lord. Continually reaping the consequences, wondering why things aren't going right. Wonder why? Because they're not in the book. They're not obeying the light that they're given. To whom much is given, the Bible says, much is required. When you're given light, take it. Do you know what? Let me tell you. When you take the light of God, when He gives it to you, you obey that step. Guess what God does? He gives you another step. Thy word. How's that go? Thy word is a lamp and a light unto my path. That's the idea of one step at a time. You take that step, God will give you another step. Take that step, we're going to do this, that's more light. We've seen that work. We've seen that. We've seen that in our own marriage. And then we've seen it when we kind of saw the light there, and then we stepped over here. That didn't work. No. No. Are you on the path of righteousness and obedience? Are you on the path that is separated from the world's ways and philosophies? Or are you persuaded with the multitude? Folks, preacher said, there's three kinds of people in the world. Those that are afraid, okay? Those that don't know enough to be afraid, and those that know their Bibles. What group do you want to be in? Get in the Word of God. Let Him have His way. Let's bow for prayer. Father, I thank You tonight for Your precious Word. I thank You that You give us clear paths, clear direction. And I pray for the young families of our church that You would give us such a lighted, brilliant path as You did the children of Israel through that Red Sea that night, God. And I pray for the families that are starting up, with young children and those that do not have any yet. Lord, that You would be the absolute priority and the goal of their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.